The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice fills the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your
soul. Settles in your soul.
Jefferson.
It does. It settles right down in that soul, Mama Jefferson.
And it is my soul because I am all Jefferson.
Morning, everybody.
Good morning.
This is Terry Raposa, Mama Jefferson, Janet Chandler, Wynn Carpenter. How are you guys this morning?
Living the dream.
Great.
Living the dream.
We're broadcasting live from KCNR Studios in downtown Reading. We're also broadcasting on 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, and 1416 AM. We are your talk radio here at KCNR, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. That's KCNR1460.com. If you have a question or a comment, and boy, you've had quite a week. If you have a question or a comment,
Keep it to yourself.
530-605-4567. 530-605-4567. Had an interesting Board of Supervisors meeting this week. We had a lot of things come to fruition. Every time we peel back this onion, there's more and more and more corruption.
And onions smell.
They
yeah.
do.
And they make you cry, and that's about where we are with the county.
They do make you cry. And anyway, there was a lot going on with Captain Kropholler, his case, and what went on with that, and they're apparently settling that. And there was also an issue of a lot of things that were a little bit confusing about the meeting, and that is that a lot of people who got up and spoke, well, some of them got their mic cut for just being rude, I guess. And some of them got their mic cut because they weren't adhering to what the
protocol.
Well, yeah, they weren't adhering actually to what the regular calendar item was saying. You know, in other words, the regular calendar item would have a point, and then they talk about the point, but it really wasn't on point because our attorney kept on saying, well, no, that's really not on point. So,
or that's not the issue.
That's not the issue.
Right,
yeah,
at the moment.
Exactly.
That's coming up later in the agenda. Stay focused on the issue at hand.
Right.
And they have trouble doing that.
Well, I think that is part of it. But also, you know, they had a thing called R13. And R13 was something that Kevin had moved up. Kevin Cry, the chairman of the board, had moved up a little further up the food chain. It was R13. And he had moved it to right behind R6 or R5, one of those. So it would be addressed sooner on the agenda. The problem with that is that R13 was never on the original agenda. So if you went in there, and there was probably, what, I'd say 250 people there?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, easily, yeah. Standing room only.
Yep.
So by the time they got to R13, there really wasn't anything on the agenda. It was an addendum to the agenda, so there was a different sheet for it. But unless you had that different sheet, you didn't know what R13 really was. So when people signed up for R13, thinking it was one thing, when they got up there, they found out it was another. Well, I'm going to read it really quick so you can kind of determine what they were trying to talk about with R13. I have my own ideas and something I want to share with you guys and see what you think. Board of Supervisors, R13. Remember, this is a separate sheet. Not everybody's going to get one of these. Most people didn't get them. Most people didn't understand what R13 was. The only thing I knew about it is what Kevin Cry had said about the issue, basically with Captain Kropholler, etc. R13 discussed the process for informing the Board of Supervisors or pending threatened litigation against the county and consider providing direction to staff. Okay, so you comment on that and you say, okay, well, some of the testimony we've heard about Kropholler, apparently there were two cases, not one. There was a settlement. You weren't really told about it as a board of supervisors by your staff and by your county attorneys. So how do you comment on that? I mean, okay, so they have to figure out, I mean, how do they comment on it? How does it even come about when you have supervisors who are supposed to be have a regular calendar item to discuss how they're going to handle something and how they're going to handle the procedure, and in essence, they had no knowledge of what was going on. So how do you handle a procedure you don't know?
Well, it's like discussing whether or not it's raining outside. It either is or it isn't, and that it sounds like a pretty cut and dried issue here.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
And if they don't know it's raining outside, then how do you even discuss it?
Yeah. Well, once you've determined, then case closed. Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. Boy. Obviously. They are the Board of Supervisors is supposed to be informed of any pending lawsuits. So isn't there a protocol already in place?
Well, the thing is
that somebody violated it.
Well, see, that's the other thing I'm confused about. And then we've got a caller on here I'm going to get to right away. But I want you to think about this, Janet, and Wynn. You know, if we have a situation where we have litigation going on, you can't really talk about it in open comment, I don't think, because it is an ongoing litigation. There's attorney-client privilege.
Well, people can comment on it in open comment, but it's just if that they the supervisor
got to know what it is.
But they're not going to comment anyway during open comments from the people.
That's a good point. Okay, Stones, what say you?
Plenty. Good morning.
Good morning.
How's everybody doing?
Good.
Living the dream.
Looking forward. So I was watching the board meeting from home because I had to get up very early the next day. So I was watching from home, and I'm really glad I was because on my laptop is where all my notes are at, and of course there are copious notes on my laptop. And so they're talking about closed session, open session. Oh, you can't talk about this. Be general. Don't be specific. Yada yada. You know, Joe Larmore. He's a disaster, by the way, and I'll explain why in just a second. You know, a few years ago when Kevin sat down, I printed the Brown Act laws for him, took them to him. Every closed session item is, quote, may be heard in closed session, unquote. Every topic, land deals, it doesn't matter. Union negotiations, it doesn't matter. They are all optional. The board has the discretion to bring any of that into open session, period. In fact, they don't even have to bring it to closed session to begin with. They can just go right to open session when they have a new item. This is in the Brown Act, which I know intimately, by the way. And so I was texting Thursday night. I was texting Kevin, Patrick Jones, and some people in the audience, these very laws, these very darn laws. And here's the key. So something that has already been in closed session, the board may vote to bring it into open session, okay? Just because it's been put in closed session doesn't mean it cannot then be brought out into open session. So the board, of course, the board's done for the year, I believe.
Yep.
But the next board can vote to bring out the Crop Hauler case into open session. It's that simple. It's not rocket science. And Larmore, either he's ignorant of these sections of the Brown Act, in which case, why is he sitting there? Or he's aware of these sections of the Brown Act, and he's refusing to tell Kevin Kreitz here during an open meeting of these sections of the Brown Act. In either case, he should not be sitting there. And I texted Kevin after basically the hugabaloo kind of cooled off on this particular matter. And I said, well, Kevin, you maybe I should be sitting next to Joe and helping with advice and consent for the board, because Joe's getting it wrong. Or he's failing to give the full information. So it's not rocket science. It really isn't. And when Patrick sat 4 years ago, I gave him some printouts, which shows you can bring somebody from closed session, whether it be a councilman, board member, doesn't matter, can bring out whistleblower information from closed session independently. They just have to claim whistleblower status if they think there's waste, fraud, and abuse going on in closed session. That is also in the Brown Act and the Labor Code and the Government Code. And I texted all of this on Thursday night to various people. This isn't rocket science, folks.
Yeah, you know, R13 was put on there by Kevin, I believe. And R13, when it was put on there, let's see, yep, Supervisor Cry, I think he just wanted to, he wanted to expose what they've been going through. I think it was sort of like, I want to tell you guys as much as I can. I do remember the attorney saying, and maybe you can kind of help us out on this one. I remember at one point when Kevin was trying to say more about this issue, this closed session issue, I remember the attorney saying, you're walking a thin line here. In other words, there's some things that you are bringing up you can't bring up. So in closed session, what I would understand, I think it's just logical, you can't bring up private information on people because of a privacy issue, you know, if it has to do with something private. And I don't know where the attorney was going wrong on telling Cry that he couldn't elaborate because of an ongoing case. Anyway, go ahead. Explain that.
Yeah, and so everything I've already said, of course, still stands. But to expand on what you just said, if something is in closed session and it has not been voted by the legislative body out of closed session, the law is very specific on what you can report out of closed session. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you're supposed to report any actions out of closed session. And by the way, discussion, if they discuss an item in closed session, that is considered action, by the way, in the Brown Act.
Okay.
But hey, they never come out with anything other than like a final vote.
Okay, the thing
the
thing I heard, and I'm just getting clarification on this, as you might know, is that there's been all this stuff that's been going on with staff. You know, as you know, and I mean, you know all about this. You've done a lot of great research on it. A lot of things on staff where staff hasn't told the board some things, and staff of the ROV office has done some things that a lot of people consider nefarious. But the way I understand it, and tell me if I'm wrong here, is that if you want to fire staff, as far as the Board of Supervisors staff goes, isn't it the CEO, isn't it Rickert's job to do that, not the, and they can or can't? And I'll give you one quick example, then I want to hear your answer. I know when they wanted to get rid of, at one point they wanted to get rid of Modi, okay, in the city of Reading, his police chief. And because he's an employee of the city manager has the jurisdiction to hire or fire. And I know the city council at that point was saying, hey, we don't want this guy to take this other job. We don't want to bring him further up. He's going to be gone. We want him gone, blah, 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 blah. And the city manager said no. Is that the same jurisdiction that the Board of Supervisors has over the county employees? And I do know that, like, somebody like Janet Francesca, she's under the jurisdiction of hire and fire by Tom Toler. So am I correct on those points, or go ahead?
Well, you're kind of comparing apples and oranges. You know, a city employee, a police chief who's basically what's considered an exempt employee.
No, I'm just asking about who has jurisdiction to fire him. That's what I'm asking.
Well, again, those are apples and oranges. So if I could, I'd like to stick with the county side of the issue. And yes, there's
no,
county,
they're both
employees.
County. They're both county. They're both county.
I'm
sorry. What I'm trying to say is the supervisors don't have jurisdiction over firing the people in their office that have not given them information.
So if there's exempt employees in the county employment, exempt employees, meaning they're not covered by a union, they're not permanent civil staff, what's considered permanent civil service, then the CEO likely has the jurisdiction.
Okay.
Okay?
That's what I thought.
That would be like the assistant CEO who, of course, never shows up for work. But people like Stephanie Blankenship, why is she still there? I have no idea. She has delayed, obstructed, obfuscated, all these really cool words. The election commissions, the Board of Supervisors, especially Patrick Jones. Why is she still sitting there? I have no clue. You know, being that I used to be civil service, there's a couple of things you can do. One strike and you're out. That would be lie, cheat, and steal. That would be being under the influence on duty. And, by the way, insubordination-type activities. I have no idea why she's still sitting there. What is she holding? What is she blackmailing these board members with that they can't talk to Dave Rickert and write her up one strike, insubordination, and you're fired. I have no idea why she's still there.
Couldn't Rickard fire her?
No, not her.
She's likely a permanent civil service with union protection, so you got to go through those steps. But again, one strike and you're out with insubordination.
Okay.
Yeah, she serves. She serves at the pleasure of the board.
I don't know. But again, if she is an exempt employee without union protection, then yes, the board and or the CEO can get rid of her. Otherwise, she would have the union's process to go through. But it doesn't matter. Either way, one strike in subordination, she should have been gone a long time ago. Anyways, I appreciate the time. If you have any questions.
Okay. Well, thank you.
I think we're good. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
Have a good day.
Well,
all of this stuff is going on, and nobody does anything about it.
Well, because nobody knows who could take care of it or not.
Nobody knows who has jurisdiction.
Nobody knows who has jurisdiction. That's my whole point.
Okay, I'll volunteer. You need somebody to just step up and say bye.
You're fired.
Right. Yeah.
Well, you know, and I wasn't trying to confuse Richard on the city and the county. It was similar situations. In other words, who has jurisdiction in the county to hire and fire these people? Is it the same as the city? Because the city manager basically is the CEO of the city as opposed to the CEO of the county. Yeah.
Well, we know that Kathy Darlene Allen's name was on those emails that the big kerfuffle over the money.
Right.
Were Joanna Francesca's name also on those emails? Was she part of that cover-up?
Right, and that's what I was trying to find out, is who had the jurisdiction to... I understand Toler has the only jurisdiction to fire her. That's the way I understand it.
So why isn't pressure being put on Toler to fire her if she is guilty of insubordination? It's so frustrating that we see all of these bad deeds being done, and nobody seems to be able to stop them.
Maybe it's the little secret in the room that Toler really doesn't know what he's doing and was relying on her. And in the heart of hearts of the people who have, I mean, and who puts pressure on Toler? See, that's the thing. I mean, who can put the pressure on?
Well, the board, obviously, because they hold the purse strings.
Okay, well then.
So, I mean, there has to be some way to put pressure on to clean up
the
mess.
Well, you're right. And they have the pressure as far as the purse strings go, but how does that make them look in general? In other words, okay, so what you're doing is you have a bad employee, so you're going to hurt our budget where we need the money to have decent elections, and I'm just kind of playing devil's advocate there. I'm trying to figure out how you do this. I mean, Toler just has to stand up and say, hey, you did this, this, and this, therefore I can't trust you, you're gone.
Didn't he do any homework before he got there? Didn't he sit down with others knowing that he was going in? Didn't he sit down and draft out, I mean, he's an attorney, right? I mean, he's used to documenting things. He's used to tracking things, whatever he has to do as an attorney, which I'm sure is, you know, paper shuffling. Okay, create your own document, a binder of to-dos, you know, what we need to do, what we need to clean up, and talk to, you know, the board of supervisors about that especially after he got appointed. He should have spent many hours going through that, figuring that out, and line item by line item, figuring out what needs to be done, what needs to be cleaned up, and give himself a drop-dead date on when those things need to take place. Did that not ever happen? I mean, I'm just asking the question because...
No, it's a great question.
To me, it's common sense.
Yes.
You would do something like that because you're an unknown entity going into a very volatile department within the county. So you want to cover your backside, making sure that you're as aggressive as you can be in getting things done, whatever those things might be. But you have to document it, and you at least have to have a working list to operate from.
Yeah,
and that's what I would do at the very least.
Yeah, and that's a great, great point. That's why you would have made such a great supervisor.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was a great point, Wynn, because it makes a lot of sense. But see, he wanted the job. I heard that he wanted this job. Well, if you want a job, wouldn't you try to at least get prepared for it? To have at least an
inkling of
what the hell you're supposed to be doing? To me, this has been... and still goes on to be just a complete cluster. I mean, somebody tell me how the hell Long got in there. The guy had three signs in the whole town. the only people that knew who Long was were people who had been here for a long time. It had to be an old guard of people that had been here for a long time.
Well, I guess we're going to find out what kind of job he's going to do. That's the only way we'll know, because he didn't campaign.
Well, Plummer is a good buddy of Gavin Newsom's now. How cool is that?
I think he and Mary Rickard are cut from the same cloth. They're concerned with the same things. But what bothers me is that we have all of these things going on in the county. We had our county health officer, Ramstrom, who we finally got rid of. We know that Leonard Modi was doing things he shouldn't have been doing. We got rid of him. But now we've got the Magrini case and Crop Hauler. And we had Kathy Darling Allen messing with board issues that she shouldn't have been involved in. And how much is the Crop Hauler thing going to cost me, a taxpayer in this county? And where does that money come from?
Well, it comes from the county, and I think they settle on $2.6 million, I think.
But yeah, so how much is that going to cost me personally in a county of
I'm with you. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. And that's a problem. And so...
And everybody sits around and wrings their hands and says, I can't do it. It's not my jurisdiction. There's nothing I can do. Well, what do you want me to do? I don't know.
Well, on
Stand
February...
Stand up and do something.
This is the best part. On February 17, 2021, a formal letter was drafted and sent to the Shasta County Board of Supervisors by the sheriff's... the Sheriff's Administration Association, that's all the captains and lieutenants and stuff, and the Deputy Sheriff's Association, that's all the rank and file. A letter was sent to the Board of Supervisors by the SAA offering and outlining concerns with leadership, morale, and potential illegal and unethical behaviors engaged by Sheriff Magrini and or under Sheriff Jason Barnhart. Sheriff Magrini, Shasta County's CEOs, Matt Pontes, County Council Ruben Cruz, and the DSA were all issued copies of this letter as well. In the letter, the SAA formally stated the membership held a vote and concurred the Sheriff Magrini and Undersheriff Barnhart have failed successfully to lead and supervise the members of the Sheriff's Office, and there is a no confidence in their leadership. An outside investigator was requested by membership to look into the concerns. To date, no sitting member of the Shasta County Board of Supervisors, this was in 2021, actually this was written June 21st, 2021, have made any contact with the SAA regarding the expressed issues with the sheriff. So the reward that they say has been that removing him from a poor job he was doing as sheriff and giving him a greater responsibility over public budget will resolve any issues. Is that what the board really thought, that by giving him, with the vote of no confidence from everybody, giving him a raise, $40,000, and giving him a new job, that was going to, how the hell does that even happen?
It's been 3.5 years since that letter. Justice delayed is justice denied, and the people of this county have not had justice on this issue. How many people knew there was a problem and did nothing?
The board did.
Yeah. And there's Mary Rickard. Oh, this county is so well run. How can it be well run when we just settled $2.3 million for a former county employee?
Well, Captain Crophaller basically was the president of the Sheriff's Administration Association at the time.
Right.
And so, in this letter, and it's a news release, actually.
Yep.
I'm reading a news release, which is public knowledge. They're stating, meaning the SAA, is stating the fact that UCFIT Board of Supervisors, because of bad conduct and a lot of things that have been corrupt, and why we at the Sheriff's Department do not want Magrini as our sheriff anymore, and why he is resigning, and blah, 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 you see it fit to give him a reward of a position of assistant CEO and a raise of $40,000 a year. That is complete insanity.
And then where has he been? It was a non-job with pay.
Yeah.
He just disappeared, and I don't know. Is this a well-run county?
Well, we do have new... I mean, Kevin Cry and Chris Kellstrom were not on the council at that time.
No.
And Patrick was like the one, the lone ranger on that one, who absolutely sided with all this. And, it just gets goodier and goodier in this place. We're going to go off to a quick break, and then we're going to come back and hear some thoughts. Janet has some thoughts on some things, as does Wynn, especially on this county issue. We're blessed really to have you, brother, because you really have a good knowledge of what goes on in the county because you work there. And one thing I can say, when Wynn Carpenter did run for supervisor, and by the way, Janet Chandler also ran for supervisor.
The loser's here.
Yeah. Well, that's because you were outspent.
Yeah.
But each one of you were asked for endorsements of the people who won. I love that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's hilarious.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, you know? Yeah. It's like Janet, Rickard's going, hey, Janet, can you be a speaker for me? Anyway, we've got to go off for a break. So with that, time has come.
For 51.
Let's get her done.
Amen.
Garden of Lights is back for another fun-filled holiday season, open on select dates from November 22nd through January 5th. Featuring over 10 acres of outdoor illuminated gardens filled with 2 million lights, don't miss this year's new additions, including new light displays and premium ticket packages. Plus, holiday-themed food, drinks, music, glowing swings, model trains, and much more. Reading Garden of Lights is presented by Mercy Medical Center Reading. Buy tickets now at turtlebay.org.
Reading businesses, listen up. Black Bear Diner is now offering catering for events, meetings, and gatherings. Fuel your team with our delicious homestyle meals that everyone will love. Ready to make your next event a hit? Visit blackbeardiner.com for more information and place your order. Black Bear Diner, your go-to for great food and good times.
Black Bear Diner.
Are you ready to roll the dice and hit it big? Get down to Wind River Resort and Casino and take your shot at the brand new craps table.
Feel the excitement,
the thrill,
the rush.
Whether you're a seasoned player or just getting started, craps has something for everyone.
Pass line,
hard ways,
come hit your point and win big.
Roll in to Wind River Resort and Casino today. Your luck starts here. For complete details, see windriver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Lest we forget that the reason for the season is the Messiah. Thank you for the Hallelujah Chorus.
Amen. That's a beautiful one. Okay, we were talking about what's going on with the county and so forth, and I just wanted to kind of tap into this a little bit. The whole reason, well, there are reasons and there are justification for the board to control the budget because that's their job. They are one of the sole purposes of having the board is to control the budget for the entire county. So if they have a problem with what's going on with any department, They should truly, over the course of budget timing, you know, what they do in the spring, they should go line item from every single department and see how that affects the budget as a whole. We're talking about $650 million or more for the entire budget for Shasta County, and it grew substantially, I don't know, 5-6 years ago. From, I think it was in the 340s or something like that, up to 650. It's like, wait a minute, what's going on? So those are the kind of things that you have to look at. The numbers will not lie, and you have to find out where things were spent and how they were spent and were they spent properly through a forensic audit. That will tell you everything, and that'll tell you if things are happening illegally, and if they are happening and you have a forensic audit and you have proof of I'd just say illegal activity or ignorant activity, then there's prosecutorial weight behind that audit. So if somebody does something wrong intentionally within their budget items, they can be prosecuted for that. And then the long arm of the law reaches out, taps them on the shoulder, and that's what happens. And that'll be the county, the board of supervisors with their attorneys, bringing it to the DA to get it going. Now, I know some of those links in there may fail us, but it has to happen. And it has to be publicly disclosed at a board meeting.
And who is in charge of setting up an audit? The board of supervisors?
They can request that, yes. And then they would work with the finance department of the county, and there are several different departments, and we have the auditor. I mean, that's, hello, it's in the name.
Sounds like that's his job.
So it sounds like we'd have to find out who is jurisdictionally responsible to do that. And those are simple questions to ask, and there should be something printed out in one of the big old MOUs that they have here, Memorandum of Understanding binders that they have for the county, for each department. They should have all this laid out, and all they have to do is ask the questions. That's it. Just ask the questions publicly. It's part of the board's meeting when they do that open public session, because it's in there forever. It's part of the minutes of what's going on in the board.
They are supervisors, and yes, I understand they're not kings, and they don't dictate everything.
Correct.
But it is their job to oversee, to supervise what happens in the county, and I have a feeling that that's not happening. Why has Tom Toler not been called in every week to give an update on what he has done in the elections office?
Absolutely.
Since he is obviously new, and the board wants to make sure that he is fitting in to mm-hmm. his responsibilities, call him in every week. Ask him about particular employees. Are they doing what they're supposed to do? We know that there was an email that went out that had their name on it that was not done according to board supervision. Why has the board not done this already?
Well, and they don't even have to bring up the employee's name.
No.
They can bring up the employee's title position. So they're not pointing a finger at a person individually, per se, by bringing up their name, so that there's not, well, people are going to get angry anyway, but if you ask about, you know, is the assistant doing their job? That's all you have to ask, and if they aren't, why are they still there? And if there's insubordination going on, why are you not addressing it? I mean, just short, quick, little questions like that to put pressure on him to take action.
You can't fire someone as a board.
Correct.
But you can certainly put pressure on to either make sure that the job is done and done properly, or that the person is under such pressure that they leave the job and understand that they're not capable of handling it.
That's correct. And the thing is, when numerous, countless people have seen things happen that they question over and over again during an election cycle, why are these things not being addressed? I don't understand that. Why are we not taking corrective action to get things fixed? I don't understand that. I don't understand the laziness by the department heads, the elected official for that department. I don't understand that. In the real world, that doesn't happen. If you're making a mess of somebody's business, you're let go.
Well, I think of Elon Musk took over Twitter, made it X.
Yeah.
And what was the first thing he did?
He laid everybody off that was irrelevant.
Yeah.
And people that were doing the wrong thing.
Well,
they were doing bad things, yeah.
Or no things
or
at
no
all.
Things. Yes.
Yes, showing up for work and drinking lattes all day and playing games. Well,
yeah.
And Elon Musk is not going to run a business that way, and he didn't.
Right.
Well, the county shouldn't run a business that way either.
Correct.
The mere fact that Eric McGreaney was somewhere and nobody knew where, he was still employed by the county, I guess not getting paid, but I don't know what he was doing, but why?
Well, I think, my understanding, and I could be wrong, but my understanding, it was cheaper to keep him there than allow him, if they let him go, then he could have turned around and sued the county, one more lawsuit, which would cost them money to eventually pay off. So it was cheaper to keep him there for the time until he...
Well, you know, as
went out on his terms of whatever he's doing with his health and all that other stuff that was being used as a rouge to get through the process.
As a taxpayer, I would like to be told, yeah, we have to keep him on because it's cheaper to keep him on than to risk a lawsuit. Why can't we learn the truth? Why,
right,
as taxpayers, are we not being told the truth?
I agree.
Because we need the information, because ultimately, we are the stewards of the county.
We're putting our trust into the Board of Supervisors and to the other elected officials. You know, whoever gets, you know, whoever's in charge of the elections office, whoever that might be, the auditor, the tax collector, the sheriff, all those departments, we put our trust in them when we elect them to those positions, and then they take an oath. Not only do they take an oath, they take two oaths at the same time. They take an oath to the federal constitution and the California constitution at the same time. Therefore, they're not doing their part where it says to defend for, you know, it just bothers me that they take an oath to do something and they're not following through with it.
And they ultimately take that oath to me because I,
yes,
am their employer. They,
correct,
are my subservient employee.
Correct.
They do what I've hired them to do. And I was interested in Rich Gallardo's comments about the Brown Act and closed sessions. They don't have to keep it secret.
Correct.
It is optional. Why am I not given more information?
Why does the attorney not mention that? Why does he not operate in that vein? Does he not understand it, like Rich was pointing out? Is he ignorant to that? If he is, then he needs to be schooled real quick.
I don't think he's ignorant. I think that basically he isn't doing it because of the convenience. See, he serves at the pleasure of the Board of Supervisors, and if they don't want to bring something up, he's not going to give them any kind of flack on why they should or shouldn't. See, he's there for them, not for us.
But he did. He was telling them that they couldn't because Kevin and Patrick both were right on the fence. So was Chris. They were all mentioning things, and then Patrick said something. He said, was I not supposed to mention that? And, cat's out of the bag, right?
There it is.
Well, the way I understand it, it was attorney-client privilege because it had the specificity of the case of Crop Hauler. And I don't know whether it's completely settled or not. Does,
right,
anybody know?
No.
Okay,
there
see, that's
go.
The whole thing.
Know.
See, nobody,
yeah,
knows. So,
right,
if it's not completely settled, then...
And I understand that.
That's why the attorney did what he did, I think. I'm not trying to defend the guy. I'm just saying that...
Right, right.
I mean, you know, Rich is right. Everybody's right. The thing is that the real deal is we don't have a situation where county staff is really... They aren't there for us. They're there for the people who have jurisdiction over them. They're there for the people they work for. The attorney of the county is not for the people. He is for the staff. He's a hired gun. Okay? So, you know, the thing is that, yeah, they take an oath to the Constitution, but, you know, it also, what benefits me? That's the way they look at it. What benefits me in this whole deal? What's in it for me? I mean, unfortunately, that's just the way it is.
I understand that there's certain information that must be kept private and,
sure,
and to protect people,
sure,
and employees. I get that, and I'm not saying that everybody should be held up for ridicule before it's time, before all the facts are in. But I'm also looking at Shasta County, which is a relatively small county in California. If we can't even manage our own county and have the knowledge and information that we need in Shasta County, what possible hope is there for us to know what's going on at the state level or the federal level? We are being cut out of the loop here as the people who are supposed to be in charge.
Well, if you've ever noticed, I'll never forget when Dick Dickerson retired from city council, and he had been a state senator, state assembly, I think it was a state senator. He'd been on this stuff in the city of Reading, and he retired, and he thanked the staff. He thanked his staff. He thanked the people that worked for the city. He said, hang in there, you're doing a great job, no matter what anybody says. He didn't say anything about the people who elected him. I mean, and that's been the whole issue here. These people are always thanking staff. Well, I want to, and you know, really and truly, that's the little knit circle you have here. And then we have good employees of the county like Wynn, you know, and a lot of the people he worked with. Those people are trying to do the best for the people. You know, the rank and file that are out there, the great employees we have that are out there trying to do that. But the people who lead their departments or the people that are in power are there thinking, hey, you know, how does this work for me? The simple fact is that Toler could have been called on the carpet. I mean, I got 11 different law violations I got sent to me by a friend. And, the California government codes, the election code, a gazillion of them. And all these things were brought to the forefront, a lot of these things, to the Board of Supervisors about what was going on with Toler. And they were being told by Toler, hey, you know, here's the deal. I'm working on it. I'm going to get there. I promise you, transparent elections, I'll get there. And they just sort of believed in that. The Board of Supervisors didn't have the will to say, okay, we need to clean this up right now. They didn't have the will. It's that simple. And the ones that did, I know Patrick did, but they just didn't have the will to do it. There were too many, you know, maybe they didn't want to be proven wrong about getting the wrong person. Or maybe that, maybe when that person got in, you know, he was confessing that he was over his head. I mean, nobody knows what goes on, again, behind closed doors.
Right, right. Well, clearly when we go back to what's been proven, you know, the 175 emails that the current assistants...
on the Zuckerberg thing.
Yeah, and the manipulation of that, that's all public information. It's out there. And for that to be... Even just one email to be part of is wrong. 175? Are you kidding me? And the assistant is still working for the county. That's insubordination on a colossal level, and I don't understand that because it's wrong. It's wrong on every level. Why is that person still there? I don't understand that. And if Toler has a plan, he has a master plan that he hasn't revealed yet, I'm all ears. I'm waiting... Well, waiting to hear what they are.
A little late to wait.
Yeah, the board should be calling him in every week to say, what's the update on
exactly.
On this? What are you doing? Where do we stand?
Yeah. Yep.
Because we have a right to know this.
We do, absolutely.
And I am appalled that it's taken 3.5 years for the Kropaller Magrini thing to work its way through.
Oh, yeah. Well, we had all the documentation of everything that went on in that whole gate. I mean, there is speculation. I'm not saying this is what happened, but there is speculation that... why Kropaller was asked by Magrini to, check a rap sheet on Pontes was because sometimes, and again, this is speculation, when you hold something over someone's head.
Blackmail.
I'm just saying,
when
you hold something over somebody's head, then you have them by the,
at your mercy.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so,
I get that. And there have been words alluding to that multiple times in the board meeting, you know, and then just talking to different people out in the community. People seem to know things that haven't been revealed yet. So maybe there's more to come.
Well,
I'm assuming there's more to come, and we will hopefully find everything out.
Well, we tracked all the public records. I mean, we have access.
The three
of us have access to all the public records
right. On
this whole deal. So there are some things, but I think we need to see how it plays out
exactly
with the people who are, quote, in our leadership in the county and where they're going to go.
They're not leadership. They're representatives. There's a huge difference.
Oh, there is?
Huge difference.
I thought we were a democracy.
We are not a democracy. Good God, we're not a democracy.
Well, come on, that's what Tucker says.
Yes, we do not vote in leaders. We vote in representatives.
You, mm-hmm. It's public servants.
Truly.
Yeah, what a joke. Anyway, so I think, and that's the thing. And I think that this whole thing about everything that happened with all of this was that, you know, Captain Kropaller really, I mean, he took one for the team. Okay?
Oh, my gosh.
He did.
It doesn't just affect him on a level. It affects his family, you know, and for his beautiful wife to have to endure that right by his side.
Man.
I mean, hats off to her as well. I mean, because we all know that, you know, a man is only as good as the woman that's beside him. You know, that's it.
And what was done to him is worthy of a large settlement.
Absolutely.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think it should come out of the people who did the deed.
Well, George Stephanopoulos just found out what happens when you make untrue statements on the air.
Yeah.
And you are held accountable for your misdeeds.
Yeah.
And I think out of that $15 million settlement or something, George has to come up with $1 million of it.
That's great. Maybe that's going to set a precedent here.
I hope so.
I think so.
Yes. Accountability. That's all we're asking for.
You hit them in the pocketbook, guess what? They're not going to do it again.
Hopefully or, not, yeah.
Or they won't be there. Once you hit them in the pocketbook, they should be gone anyway.
Right.
Oh, just crazy.
And I think the hope of Trump being elected president is that now there will be some accountability.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, I think that what happened here at the board meeting, what's happening with all of this stuff, I think everybody is just, I think there's an awareness with our chairman of our board, with Kevin Cry, there's an awareness of, you know, enough is enough. And to be fair, you know, at what point is your breaking point? At one point is your point of saying, I've had enough and I need to get this out into the public. Because that's what R13 was all about. It had nothing to do with anything other than the fact of getting something out to the public to get it off their chests. That was the thing. Hey, this is what happened. This is what happened. And then again, as we were told, the attorney for the county said, well, you know, you can't push this envelope too hard. I'm still confused about the two cases. There's two cases that apparently that are going on with the sheriff's office. And I believe they had to do with Crop Hauler, because when the remark was made about a case, Mary apparently brought up the wrong case, and there's two cases.
Right.
And so if there's two cases, then...
How can somebody be on the board for 8 years and profess to know all this stuff, not know something like that?
Well, frankly, it was hard to tell where Leonard Modi started and Mary Rickert began.
Double-headed snake?
Well, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that it seemed that they worked in tune, as an observation of my opinion,
because
very
because
well.
Because he held something over her, probably. I don't know. I'm just speculating.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just know that they worked in tune.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was sort of like, you know, yeah, what he said. Oh, you bet. Yeah, what he said. So I'm not really sure on how that dynamic worked, but for her to not know this stuff when... Allegedly, there was people who said that, you know, there were more people involved than Magrini in this whole thing. And some people had pointed the finger at Modi, right, wrong, or different. They had pointed the finger at Modi being part of this whole deal. Whether he was or wasn't, I don't know. I mean, that's why
we need to know what's going on.
Well, but nobody's telling us.
Well, maybe they can't yet, because that case could be a separate issue altogether, and they're still doing some legwork.
How does Mary not know this stuff?
Well, that's the question, because if they're going into closed session, why is she getting confused on this, or is she just thinking there's one case, and she hears all this stuff and doesn't pay attention to it? That's even scarier, that she's voting and not paying attention to the details.
You don't think it's a deflection?
I don't know.
Who knows?
Who knows?
At this point, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and, you know.
But we do know that term limits happen best at the ballot box.
Absolutely.
And that happened in November.
That's correct.
Mary Rickert was reminded very strongly that she was in favor of term limits.
She was.
And there it is.
Yep.
And the people said, yes, you are. And here's our proof.
And goodbye.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the thing is, too, there's some people who stood up at the board meeting and talked about how we all really need to get along now. That was after Mr. Pinckney and
his bride.
Are they married? I don't know.
Yeah, they are. Tim Garman married them.
Really?
Yeah, that's the rumor.
Man, I need something stronger than water.
Jenny.
But, you know, they got up there and they were profane in the meeting, using their middle fingers and just being ugly, 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 and making accusatory actions toward one board supervisor that is not true. So, you know, they're slandering. But, you know, I mean, so they have all this stuff going on, and I don't know. They're probably going to have a lot more stuff going on here pretty soon, I guess. I don't know. I would speculate that.
Well, a very prominent family member stood up in the Reading area, and she said that, oh, we all need to get along, and we can't have this really bad discourse, when she's always sat on the side where they were at. And
I refuse to get along with people who are in the wrong. I cannot compromise with something that's in the wrong.
And especially when they're doing it intentionally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Misleading, or you deflect the blame when it's clear. I mean, you can't say, you know, F you and he... Clear, I believe I can say that. I just used initials.
You can use initials.
Use initials. You can't say F you any more than what they did at that meeting. I mean, it's kind of like, okay, well, you know, you don't like the guy. I get it, right? Okay, but, you know, you're, all this profanity, everything else. It's just, and then you have somebody who comes up there and defends them. Like, oh, we all need to get along. Well, why didn't you come up there and how come you've always been sitting on that side? Why have you always been in their corner?
Well, you're certainly free to give us your opinion and to tell us what you think and how you think it should be done. But I am under no obligation to agree with you and to work with you on your opinions. I don't have to agree with you. I love the statement. Yes, I could agree with you, and then we'd both be wrong. it's perfect. And as far as compromise goes, what if side A wants to build a bridge and side B doesn't? So you compromise by building the bridge halfway across? To me, that's compromise, and it never works.
Compromise is one side getting what they want and making it palatable for the other side to swallow. That's what compromise is in the most cases. And that's the way the liberals compromise. In other words, we're going to get what we want, but we'll make it easier for you to swallow. We'll put a little sugar on the pill.
But it's still crap.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Still
yeah.
crap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm very happy with you, Mama Jefferson, about using and keeping everything clean here so we don't get bleeped. You know, that's good.
Well, I've never understood all of these four-letter words and why some are okay and some aren't. Why can you say the crap word, but you can't say the S word?
I don't.
What's the difference? They're just letters.
Well, we're going to get an answer. Yes, Dave.
Old FCC laws.
FCC laws. Okay, that's it. Because, yes, you know, you can say feces.
And if you're going to use the F word, at least spell it correctly.
Okay, yes. Laura, we have Laura Hobbs on the line. Laura, we only got about 3 minutes left. What you got, kiddo?
Good morning, folks. I just really want the board to hold these folks accountable. It's one thing to talk about it. It's another thing to actually do something about it.
Yep.
I agree with you.
You know what's happening right now with these lawsuits that come against the county? It's the taxpayers that have to pay for these lawsuits.
Yes.
Yep. Every time.
And it's not fair. And I think that, you know, I see this happening with... It happened with the elections office, and there's more stuff, too, that I just discovered. They were signing contracts for over $200,000 without the board's approval with Runbeck on 11/21/22 and 2/28/24. We also know about the CTCL, which was mentioned earlier. But the problem is that this board so far has felt comfortable just with bringing things to the open, but not actually prosecuting anyone for violating. I'm sure there's government codes that have been violated, right? I mean, that's what they said. Joseph Walmer said government codes were violated when the board was not notified about this lawsuit.
Well, I'm looking at 11 of them right here. I'm looking at 11 of them right here.
Yeah.
Absolutely, and so I want to see accountability. I think that there's a climate of corruption happening in Shasta County that has not been dealt with and will continue until someone is actually held to account.
Well, you know, and the thing is that we're going to have to be the ones holding Taller and those people to account. And again, the Board of Supervisors does have limited jurisdiction on a lot of this stuff. They can control the money, but I don't, maybe you know, does it take 3 out of 5 to slash the budget?
It's probably going to be a
4 out of 5. Anybody know? Do you know, Laura?
I believe the budgetary has to be a 4 out of 5 vote.
That's what I thought, yeah. That's what
but the budget...
To end a contract, I know that's probably just a simple majority.
Okay.
It's just if you're going to spend money.
Okay. The budget and jurisdiction are interesting, but the board has the ultimate power of coercion and pressure, and that takes nothing but calling forward some of these department heads every week for a report. Put on the pressure. Even if you can't take money away from them, even if you can't fire them, put on the pressure.
I agree with that.
That's the best thing that they can do.
The only thing really they can do at this point. And so yeah, Laura, anyway, yeah, the you know, we're going to have to go here, but thank you very much. Maybe you can call in on the next program. I don't know what Mark's up to or anything, but you might want to call in and get a little feedback on that. I have a lot of thoughts on that. So I'll talk to you later because I think that you really, you might be onto something. Okay.
Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Well,
I'm Ms.
451.
And Merry Christmas to Jefferson.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? It's not our bill. We had no say. You don't serve us.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.